Cool Initiatives is looking for innovative and creative education technology ideas, platforms and products still in the early stages of development that embody the idea of the future of education. We're excited by projects that help our schools function better or those that drive new ways of teaching and learning. All finalists in the competition get at least £500, with the runner-up getting £5,000 and the winner getting £10,000 cash, no strings attached. In our ever-changing world, education matters more now than it ever has. Better technology improves how our schools serve parents and students. The ways in which data is used are evolving. Institutions are embracing new tools and platforms that help motivate students to learn and make teaching more engaging and interesting. Behind the scenes, school offices are in need of digital transformation as learners, parents, and teachers have become accustomed to a hyper-connected world. We imagine a world where all learners and teachers can harness their own information, much the same way a Fitbit or an Apple Watch is capturing our health data to enhance or improve our well-being. Technological innovations have the same potential to enhance our education system, easing teachers' administrative burden, improving how teaching is designed and delivered, and advancing our understanding of how students acquire knowledge. In short, we want to allow teachers to do what they do best and teach. Whether you're in the early stages of developing your product, a teacher with a great idea, or a student with a prototype, the Cool Initiatives team would like you to apply. Please visit www.coolinitiatives.com/competition for more information and application details. And remember, the deadline is February 28th at 5 p.m.
Hello everyone, and welcome to this week's The EdTech Podcast, the show about improving the dialogue between ed and tech for better innovation and impact. This week, I'm 1 year older and I've just released details of my fundraiser for Homerton Hospital. I'll be cycling 720 kilometres from coast to coast across France using the so-called Pyrenean Raid route in May. That means multiple Tour de France climbs with no stomach muscles to my name. If that sounds like a challenge you'd like to support, you can text NEL 47, then the amount, say £10 or £1,000, to 70070. That's 70070. It's all for an amazing cause and to support Homerton Hospital's amazing maternity team and neurological, paediatric and child health research. What else is happening this week? Well, I'm excited to welcome three students from the amazing School 21 in Newham, East London, to the team. Malika, Sungna and Edel will be joining the EdTech podcast as part of their real-world learning programme. Over the next 10 weeks, they'll be research, editing, producing and promoting a podcast taking on the question, is self-directed learning a fallacy? I'm hoping that this uncovers gems in psychology, learning science and 21st century skills programmes around the world. They'll be presenting back at the EdTech Podcast Festival in September. This week, I also welcome Vanessa Gay to the EdTech Podcast. Vanessa is a communications undergraduate from the University of Temple and has experience in radio broadcast. Look out for more from Vanessa across our podcast channels and social communities. So, investment comes in many forms. And investment, procurement and innovation is the theme of this week's podcast episode, the first of many recorded at BET 2018. The first person you heard from today is Hutan from Cool Initiatives, and the reason this episode is out a bit early this week is because there is a deadline you need to pay attention to. The Cool Initiatives Education Challenge are looking for innovative and creative education technology ideas that are still in the early stages of development. And there is £10,000 up for grabs. If you're listening to this shortly after publication, the deadline is the 28th of February, so get your skates on. There's still time and your idea could make all the difference. In the rest of this week's episode, you'll hear from Miss Eleanor Wallen and Gabrielle Eriksson from IMEL talking about European Commission procurement of innovation tools for education technology and how Sweden, Finland, Spain and Germany are forming a buyers group to get more focused edtech developed for their classroom, teacher and student needs. Plus, find out how many shoes Eleanor Wallen has and more details about the IMEL Accelerator and pilot programmes. Aside from IMEL, you'll also hear from Dr. Melody Lang, the CEO of new company Edvinca, looking to support international edtech companies with global ambition. You'll hear which are the three areas Edvinca are looking to invest in, plus how long Melody Lang would survive a zombie apocalypse. All the show notes from this week's episode are available at theedtechpodcast.com, where you can also join our newsletter. Thanks to everyone involved, and have a great week. Okay, so one of the podcasts we'll be doing for BET 2018 is all around investment and new investment opportunities that are popping up. So I'm delighted to be here with Eleanor Wallen, who is the project manager for IMEL. So we'll find out in a moment what IMEL is all about. But welcome, Eleanor.
Thank you very much.
So the first thing I'm doing for all of my lucky guests is you have to pick a number from 1 to 100. And I'm going to ask you some
99.
Number 99, just to get to know you a little bit better. If you had 10 minutes on national TV, what would you talk to the nation about?
Now is the time when you should say something really smart and you had to prepare. No, I would probably talk about the importance of, in a society where almost everything is based upon technology and science, there is actually a very low level of understanding of technology and science. So I would talk about an increased understanding of those subjects for the people, in order for the people to have a democratic way of deciding on future innovations and future technology and future science, you know. So bring the voice to the people.
Number 6, how many shoes do you own?
Oh, that was even more hard to answer. maybe 20, 30, I think.
And then finally, what's the best thing to put on toast?
The best thing to put on toast is peanut butter and jelly.
Okay, there we go. Now we've got to know all the very important things about you.
Yes.
So let's move on to IMEL.
Yes. IMEL is the first pre-commercial innovation procurement project in the sector of education on European level. So we have a lot of definitions here. We talk PCP, which is pre-commercial procurement, and there is also PPI, which is procurement of innovations. And this is a new tool that the European Commission has developed and is enabling European organizations to try out in order to see what difference we can make when it comes to technology and innovations to reach the market based upon customer and the needs of the end users. So the project, actually, as it is the first and the only project on European level doing innovation procurement in education, so we actually been running a test, so to speak, a test pilot to see if we can use it in the sector of education. Innovation procurement is used in health sector, is used in energy sector for larger projects. So it has been very interesting to do this project during 4 years to see what would be the impact. Could there be any hard evidence that we could actually use this tool for the future? So we've been we started the project in 2014. We are 10 partners. We have 4 procurers, so we are 4 in the buyers group, 4 countries, 4 local and regional procurers who have identified a need in our European classroom. And the need is an increased demand of personalized learning. So that means that on an average, one teacher has 23 students in the classroom. How can this teacher, he or her, support them in a personalized way to reach the STEM goals, or science, technology, engineering, and math goals, which are some resources that are sinking. And how can smart technology support the teacher and the student to be the link between? So that is actually the need that we started up with. And as we identified this need, we went out to challenge the market to say that we are a group of investors, of public investors. We have identified this need. We do not see any of this kind of solutions on the market. There are a lot of solutions on the market, but actually not based, or what we experience, on the real needs in the classroom. So We challenged the market with this, and we launched a pre-commercial procurement tender, or open call for tender on European level, to European industry to answer to our request. And it turned out that we got quite many answering coming back from suppliers. And then we have performed the PCP process in three stages. So first of all, we invited 8 suppliers to develop a proof of concept. And then out of these 8, 4 were selected to a second phase, and then they had to develop a prototype. And out of these 4 from the second phase, 2 were selected to the final phase, which was the test phase, where we have been doing a test bed situation in real classrooms in Europe, including over 600 students. And now at the end of the project, and that's why we are here to present our final impact case or the results, we have 2 suppliers who have developed the next generation of personal learning environments for primary and secondary education, mainly based upon a lot of learning analytics, artificial intelligence, and we can actually see that we have some groundbreaking innovations coming out of the project to support the teachers and students within
Very
this topic.
Interesting. So what are the names of those 2 companies?
The 2 suppliers are Almerin. It's a Finnish startup. And he actually started up as one single person, heard about the project. He was listening, and I was in Milan in 2014 promoting the project. And he was in the audience, and he thought, he came from the industry, serial entrepreneur, so he thought that he had some, he could maybe have some ideas on doing some innovation, some innovation towards our needs. So he set up a company, and they developed the JipTree product, or the JipTree PLE, which is very much based upon artificial intelligence and a virtual tutor who is supporting both the teacher and the student, the teacher to save time and the students to find personalized content, personalized learning paths, etc., assessment, automatic assessment stuff. So that is Almerin, the Finnish startup. And then we have Amigo, which is a Spanish. I will actually now introduce Gabriel Eriksson here, who is the contract manager, because we both know the companies, but just to let her speak a little bit, introduce Amigo.
Amigo is made up of a consortium of 2 Spanish companies, one small startup company, My Documenta, and then a big publishing company that's been like for over 100 years in business, that's EDB. So those companies together with, in the first phase, there were another company also, Gradient, that was involved, but then later on, only the 2 other companies continued. So they started up and developing Amigo PLE, which is also based on learning analytics and promoting the students, making the students to enable to visualize their own learning paths and to see their own improvements. But there's a lot of it. I mean, we can't really go into the details of the innovations, but there is groundbreaking innovations for both suppliers.
And so what's the sort of next step? So my understanding was that you were also here to offer up a potential next round of investment. Is there funding on the table for people wanting to also get involved in evidence-based, impact-driven edtech as well? Or is it about showcasing now these 2 organizations and what they have developed?
No, I think it's a combination of everything that you just mentioned. So first of all, we are here just to present, because what we have been doing is not only 2 innovative products for learning technology, it's also a completely innovative process in order how to achieve those innovations. It's also a completely innovative funding tool or funding opportunity, both for like the startup that I mentioned before, which has for a startup to enter a PCP, for example, can enable a lot of development for this company. So he was from one person coming up to a company today of 24 persons, for example, with a lot of extra investors because he got funded this contract. So with the PCP contract, he can knock on doors to other investors and say, hey, look, these people believe in me. They have a need already identified. I have the solutions. Would you like to join and invest? So it has been proven that PCP, which is what we are talking about, is both the method, which is to finance innovations based upon real needs from the classrooms and from the procurers.
And which countries or which classrooms were the needs identified and then the products developed?
Yes, we are representing Sweden, which is a municipality of Halmstad, and that's the coordinator of the project. So there, the tests and the needs have been identified in Sweden, in Finland. We have a municipality called Konneves in Finland. In Spain, there is the city council of Viladecans in region Catalonia. And in Germany, we have a region, so it's region Saxony-Anhalt. So these are the four. We are the buyers group. So we are the ones who are collaborating together in order to identify the needs. So to go back to your question, the reason why we are here is both to showcase the products that we have and the process, because it's innovative and we think that other people might be interested to learn and to try out themselves, or at least to promote it, that this is the way that we can work forward for a sustainable future. And the other part is to say that, okay, so we tried this out. We had some bumps in the road, but we were quite successful and we have some results, both what you should do, what you shouldn't do. And then we take this next step. So the next step and a follow-up of our project is LEA, which is Learn Tech Accelerator, where we will work with the European stakeholders, both from demand side, supply side, experts, to increase the awareness of what we did with the innovative procurement and how you can use this as a tool to develop learning technology. And we will also proceed with the two companies we had or make to see to deploy the solutions. And we will also see if we can find some new a start for another European PCP coming up in this project. So it's kind of like a bridge from what we learn and how we can meet the future. So that's the next project that we are going to come up with.
And if listeners from the UK, the US, Australia are listening in and they think, great, I want to connect with those two companies.
Yeah.
You mentioned the four countries in the beginning.
Yes.
But will they be able to also access what you've developed with these companies?
Yes. You have to, when you do a PCP, which is the pre-commercial procurement, the products are at a technological readiness level from 5 to 7. So I think that we are on 6 and 7. And in order to be commercial product, you have to be at 10. Mm-hmm. So there is still some tests and some development that needs to be done. But I mean, software is that what we develop, it goes very fast. So I would recommend we have a webpage, which is iml.eu. And there you can find all the information, both on the suppliers, on us, if you would like to get some more information on how to do it. We will present the results. We are presenting films on the products. So it's like a showcase and a streamlined process on how to do it, or the benefits or the products in order to purchase.
Interesting. People listening in that would like to find out more about the accelerator, the same thing, they should go to the website.
And yes.
Is there a deadline for them to enter, or...?
What we have done is that we actually already got the funding from the European Commission. So we are a consortium already very eager to start. So the start will be the 1st of March. But we have opened a window for other stakeholders to join as observing organizations in order to learn. And we have definitely opened a window for the industry in order to... not only as partners, but in order also to attend capacity building. If you are a startup, for example, we will arrange capacity building seminars for startups, for EdTech, LearnTech in Europe, in order to give them advices on how to do, if they would like to enter a PCP or a PPI. So there will be a lot of benefits for the industry as a whole, for all stakeholders coming out of the project.
How many companies do you anticipate being in the LTA as well?
The consortium is actually only, we are procurers, because we are the buyers.
Yeah.
So that's like the core of the project when we use innovation procurement. We have some companies involved, but they have certain tasks in the project. So what we will do, we will open to European industry. So there is not like a limit of how many can join, but we cannot, there is not like that we say that we have 1 million euro funding for you or 1 million, but we will start to investigate how to allocate this money for the industry and for the procurers within the project.
Okay, very interesting. Well, thank you for explaining it. So you mentioned the website and you guys are on Twitter at iMail, is
yeah.
it? So we'll drop that in the show notes as well. But thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm here with Melody Lang, CEO of Edvinca. So welcome.
Thank you.
Melody, before we begin about all the investment stuff, I've got my special book here. So you have to choose a page between 1 and 100.
77.
Do you consider yourself an adult?
Definitely not.
Okay, that's a good answer. To what extent do you make your own fate?
That's a very good question. I think it's about keeping an open mind so that you're receptive and open to everything the universe is putting on your plate.
On your plate. Yeah, that's probably true. And one more. How long would you survive a zombie apocalypse?
How long would I survive?
Yeah. Are you a fighter or would it be over in a second?
I would be a fighter.
So what's Edvinca?
Edvinca is an investment company exclusively dedicated to educational technology, edtech, and was set up as a joint venture between Hamburg Perks, based in London, and DLF Venture, based in Luxembourg.
It's a big announcement this week about the fund, and I think, you know, we can talk about fund and company later, but when abouts was this sort of set up? Obviously it's launching now, and you know, who exactly is it relevant for as well? So how are you going to start identifying, you know, who will receive some of the benefits of that fund and so on?
So Edvinca itself was incorporated last month, so this is very recent indeed, and that's why we thought we would be at bet to get our name out there and say who we are and what we're about. The beauty about Edvinca is that even though it's a brand new name for the edtech industry, it's actually inherited the edtech portfolio companies of Hamburg Perks, and those include PyTop, that we're very familiar with, and Cortext. So two companies that are doing extremely well and that were funded by Hamburg Perks from the start.
So PyTop obviously won their Innovator of the Year award last night. As you mentioned, they've been on the podcast before, so hopefully listeners are familiar with them. Cortext, more on the publishing side of things. I know before when we were speaking, you mentioned there being sort of three main pillars that you're going to invest in. Can you tell us a little bit about that as well?
Yes, absolutely. So the first pillar is about digital content creation and delivery. As we know, publishers are now moving all their content to digital format, and how can we help them do that? But also, how can we make sure this digital content is best delivered to students? So Cortext falls in that first bucket. The second one is extracurricular distributed learning. In the developed world, we would like to help indeed institutions modernize. In developing countries, however, institutions are either non-existent or not in the way of changing and transforming education. So we can go directly to the users so that maybe parents can purchase products or solutions for their children or students themselves. And when I say extracurricular, it means that then we're no longer bound to national curricula.
Mm-hmm.
A good example of a company falling in that bucket would be, if you're familiar with, there's in India, Baiju Education, doing extremely well.
Yeah, pretty
And that's a company backed up by the Belgian fund we're affiliated with, Verlinvest. But also, obviously, all the language learning apps, maybe like Memrise, would fall in that bucket because it's really directly to the user and not necessarily curriculum-based.
Interesting.
And the third one is how can we bridge the gap between graduates and corporates? So we all know that graduates are absolutely not job ready. I mean, they're ready to be professor at universities, and corporates struggle to find the people with the right skills. So there's a gap we need to address. And this can be done in several ways. First, looking at the content of what is being taught. So we want to really, really focus on 21st century skills. These include not only digital literacy, but also all the soft skills, mm-hmm. like the four C's, and collaboration, communication, critical thinking, and creativity. So content, 21st century skills. Then progressive education is something we truly believe in. Let's step away from the traditional educational system and look at project-based learning and learn students how to learn so they can reteach themselves as they go during their whole life, because they're going to have to be very versatile and adapt to a never-changing world. And lastly, so 21st century skills, progressive education, and yes, this new trend of new types of schools like École 42 or Holberton School, and these are the disruptors that actually say, well, we will feed directly our graduates to corporates, so they work hand in hand with corporates to make sure they are aware of their needs, and then they sometimes, in some cases, place their students for a six-month internship at the companies. And then the barrier to entry for the students to get into those innovative schools is based on psychometric testing often. It's mm-hmm. less of an academic criteria. So it's a totally new, different model. And the beauty about that model as well is that, yes, not for École 42 because that's philanthropy, but for Holberton School or We Think Code, that's an École 42 based in Johannesburg, the business model there is that studies are free, entirely free for the learners, because they're being sponsored by corporates mm-hmm. who then get prime access to the graduates.
Yeah, well, we had the head of pedagogy from École 42 on the podcast, so it was really, really interesting. And I then sort of went down a bit of a rabbit hole looking at Facebook groups of École 42 and all the new cohorts coming in, and it's quite an intense process, I think. I spoke to someone who was on it, but really interesting. So one for people listening in, is the investment open to international companies?
Yes, absolutely. That is really what we want to also emphasize, is that we have a global vision. So we are looking currently at companies in Africa, in Asia, I mean, all around the world. So we are open to any companies. And then the idea is that one of the main criteria for us also to fulfill is that we want the companies we are looking at to be obviously scalable, but also have a potential for internationalization.
So it's not, you know, the right thing for someone who's only focused on the UK market. It has to be international.
Correct.
And then obviously cultural fit is a big one for founders and, you know, as businesses grow. So what can a founder expect from partnering with you as well?
So because we invest at such an early stage, indeed, we need to have a total fit with the founder. Founders' same vision and be aligned. And that becomes very subjective as well. So after having looked at his business, looked at all his documents and data, done our due diligence, well, even before the due diligence, we would meet the founder for sure in the very, very early days to sit around the table, and we would know straight away if there's a fit or not, because that's very personal and subjective, I guess, because we are very active investors and we are hands-on. So because we're going to grow and scale the company alongside the founder, we'd better get on.
Yeah, yeah. This seems to make a lot of sense. Okay, so how are you working with other existing edtech incubators, accelerators, to identify what's out there as well?
We are trying indeed to work hand in hand with everybody in the edtech industry. And the beauty about this industry, so obviously not only am I passionate about education, this is the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing, but also it's very much a feeling of together we're stronger. Mm-hmm. So there's no such thing as competition like you maybe have in other industries. I don't know, because it's not only for profit, it's also for good.
Yeah.
And we want to make a difference, and we're really passionate about what we do. It's like, how can we collaborate? How can we partner to make things work? So with that in mind, yes, we are working very closely with Emerge Education. So we have access to all their cohort to see if there's any investment opportunity coming out from their program, accelerator program. But we've also been talking with Rose Luckin at UCL with the Educate program, and with Bobby, Barbara Kirshen at UPenn, how we can collaborate as well. So we like to have qualitative deal flow rather than loads, because we're so big on follow-on investment, we're going to invest in fewer companies in 1 year. So we'd rather have really a qualitative deal flow than just seeing hundreds and hundreds of them.
On that note, do you have an idea of, you know, what would be your max number in the next year that you'd probably consider?
I think we had set as a ballpark figure 2 to 3 investments a year. We'll have £30 million of capital to deploy. But again, because we are not a fund, we're a company. It's permanent capital for long-term investment. So we have no specific timeline. We're there for the long term. We want to hang on to the businesses. We don't want to be looking at any exits anytime soon. We want to do exactly what we do with PyTop and continue growing that company.
Final question. So what's the range of investment that you would make as well in the first instance?
So the first ticket size, we would go as low as 100K. And the average ticket size was, I would say, is between 300 and 500K. And as I said, because we're following on our investment, it can go all the way up to £1 million ticket size. But what's great is that with the two funds we're affiliated with, if it becomes too big for us to follow on, they can take over.
Okay.
So they can do the follow on. So Hamper Parks in one case and Verl Invest in the other.
And people listening in, what's the best way for them to find out more, connect with you, or go about doing that?
So you can find out more looking at our website to start with. So that's edvinca.com. And then if you want to reach out, there's a little box there where you can enter your email and we'll reach out.
Yeah. And I think you guys are on Twitter.
And then, yes, indeed, the Edvinca Twitter. Please do follow us if you want to have news about what we're up to. And this is Edvinca_.
_. Perfect. Well, thank you very much, Melody.
Thank you.
That's all from this week's episode. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you're listening in. And if you'd like to join our podcast community, head on over to Facebook, Instagram or Twitter at Podcast EdTech. We're also looking forward to South by Southwest EDU coming up in March. If you're not yet registered for South By, you can do so via the link in this week's show notes. Have a good week.